Development in Bozeman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It is written, but when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. It is written, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world. It is written, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. It is written, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Behold, the sower went forth to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Then others fell upon the rocky places, where they had not much earth, and straightway they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Then others fell upon the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And others fell upon the good ground and yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. All the world is God's own field. Fruit unto his praises yield. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of harvest, grant that we, wholesome grain and pure, may be. For the Lord our God shall come, and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last, in the fire the tares to cast, but the fruitful ears to store. In his garner evermore. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this great sermon of Jesus when he talked about the parables. The 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew is the place where that great sermon of Jesus on parables is given. Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. A great multitude came to him, and so he entered into a boat and sat. He would speak to the multitudes from a sitting position in a boat. Jesus used many varied pulpits while on earth. Sometimes he spoke in the synagogue, sometimes he preached in the temple, sometimes he preached on the street. He used the cross one time as a pulpit to preach a 7-point message at his crucifixion. But here he uses a boat. We cannot confine the preaching of the gospel to the formality of the pulpit in the church house on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. We need to take the gospel everywhere. So Jesus preached this sermon in parables from a boat pulpit. The first parable was about the soils. The sower went forth to sow. Some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on the rocky ground, and because they had no depth of earth, when the sun was risen, they were scorched and withered away. Some fell on the thorny ground, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Others on the good ground and yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We are not left in doubt as to what this parable represents because Jesus explained it later to the apostles. The wayside was hard ground packed down by the tramping of feet, where nothing ever sinks in. This is a good term for some who always seem to be afar off on the wayside, never really a part of anything. The wayside is a good description for some who always seem to be on the fringes of the church. Then there was the seed that fell on rocky ground. Jesus said this represented the people who received with joy the word of God, but who have no roots. Their Christian life is not rooted in the study of the word of God and prayer. When troubles arise, they wilt and dry up and fall away. These are the ones who think that the church is glamorous. They see a crusade on television. They are enamored with the gospel quartets or some other musical group. It sounds good. It looks good. This is what I've been waiting for. They try it, and then at the first sign of trouble, they're gone. The third soil was where the thorns were. The care of the world chokes the word. Jesus said they also died off. We have many like this. They want what the Lord has to give, but there are too many other things competing for their attention, ball games, television, school meetings, and many other things. They are so busy making a living that they do not have time to make a life. There is simply no time for the Lord, and their interest is choked out. Some seed, however, fell on the good ground and yielded fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You see, some are greater in their capacity than others. All are not equal. Some can do more than others. Isn't it strange that princes and kings, and clowns that caper in sawdust rings, and common folk like you and me, are builders for eternity? To each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass and a book of rules, and each must fashion ere time has flown a stumbling block or a stepping stone. The apostles later came to Jesus and asked him why he spoke to them in parables. He said that it was not given to them to know the mysteries of kingdom of God, but to you it is given. Ladies and gentlemen, there are mysteries in the kingdom of God the world does not understand. How about the mystery of the Lord's Supper? Suppose a non-Christian visits an assembly of the saints at the communion hour. He sees people eating a small chunk of bread and drinking a thimble-sized full of the fruit of the vine and does not understand this. He does not understand that this is not body food, but this is soul food. It is no mystery, however, to the Christian who understands that Jesus said, "This is my body, and this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins," and so continues to observe this feast every Lord's Day, as the reminder is given in Acts 20 and 7, "Upon the first day of the week we were gathered together to break bread." This something is something that the Lord does not want us to ever, ever, ever forget. Then again, there is the mystery of baptism. The world does not understand. Somebody visits an assembly of the saints, and he sees a person go down into a small pool of water and become submerged with their clothes on, and the congregation sings, "Now I belong to Jesus." That visitor does not understand this mystery. The Christian understands that Paul said, "All we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him in baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also might walk in newness of life." Baptism is not a mystery to the Christian, because Jesus said, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." The second parable that Jesus told is a story of the tares among the wheat. A certain man sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. Jesus explained this parable by the fact that the kingdom of God is like unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. He identified himself as the sower of the seed, and he sowed the seed in the world. Most Christians think he sows the seed in their community, in the suburbs, and no place else. Jesus wants the seed sown in the whole world. He wants to be more than your own private hometown God. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. Jesus revealed the enemy, his identity, when he explained, "The enemy that sowed them is the devil." Many people are ashamed to let anyone hear them refer to a person called the devil. Surely that is superstition. Surely there is no such person. We have the word of the Lord Jesus Christ for it, that there is such a person. Jesus said, "The enemy is the devil." The devil is just as real as the Lord Jesus Christ. And sowing tares among the wheat is a favorite device of the devil. John tells us during the Passover feast, the devil put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. And before the feast was over, Satan entered into him. Again, an idea where the devil works against people and sows the seed also of tares is when Ananias and Sapphira sold a property. They held back part of the price and gave the rest as though they were given the whole amount. Peter asked, "Why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land?" The devil is still sowing tares among the wheat. Every evil thought we ever had was put there by the devil himself. The tares grew up before it was noticed, and the servants wanted to know what to do. The householder said, "Let both grow together until the harvest. Then I will say to the reapers, gather up first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." All of these various bundles of sinners in the church whom have been influenced with the devil will wind up in the same place. They will be cast into the lake of fire. I want to make it plain that I love all the above lost in whatever bundle you happen to be. But I surely do hate what the devil is doing to you. The wheat, however, would be gathered into the barn. This is the only place I know of where heaven is likened unto a barn. But it is God's barn. I would rather live in God's barn than in the devil's mansion. When I die, I have every intention of heading for the barn. He said we would shine as a sun in the kingdom of heaven. The third parable is the mustard seed. Jesus said it was the smallest of seeds, and yet when it was grown, it became a tree, and the birds of the heaven came and lodged in the branches thereof. The church, which is the kingdom of heaven, is like this. First there was Jesus, then there were the apostles, then there were 500 that Jesus appeared to after the resurrection. Then there were 3,000 who accepted the terms of pardon the day the church began. Then there were 5,000. Then, several times we are told, the number of the disciples multiplied. The number has grown through the centuries. And when we think of all the Christians who have ever lived, their number can be summed up in the description in Revelation, the 7th chapter, when we are told, "After these things I saw, and behold, a great multitude which no man could number, out of every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes and palms in their hands. And they cry with a great voice, 'Salvation unto our God who sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb.'" Then another parable was likened to this when he said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a woman who hid leaven in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened." Leaven is usually referred to as sin, but this is an exception. It is the kingdom of heaven that is like unto the woman and the leaven. Leaven works silently in the bread and gives it good taste. The kingdom of heaven is like that. Paul tells us in Corinthians, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with men, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. But such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, ye were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." Leaven gives flavor to this life. Without leaven, the bread would fall flat. Without the gospel, the world will fall flat. That is not too difficult to prove. If there were no church, no Holy Spirit in this world, no Bible, in a matter of hours, this world would be a hell on earth. I can remember a time when in school the Bible was read every morning and prayer was made. There came a time when prayer and Bible reading were taken out of the school. We didn't have much prayer and much Bible reading. It wasn't much, but it must have been a powerful thing. It must have been powerful stuff. At least it was a polite nod in God's direction. When prayer and Bible reading were removed, it wasn't long before the National Guard was called out to maintain peace in some places. And today, educators tell us in many places that the biggest problem in school today is discipline and drugs. Ladies and gentlemen, when a nation thumbs its nose in the face of Almighty God, it is only a question of time until that nation has had it. Then Jesus continued his Matthew chapter 13 with the parable about the treasure in the field. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid, and in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. At that time, people sometimes would hide money in the ground for safekeeping. Jesus told one time of one man who digged in the earth to hide his Lord's money. This man in the parable, however, found a treasure by digging in the field. He found it by accident and went and sold all that he had and bought it. This man found the greatest treasure of life by accident. Many people find the Lord by accident. They weren't really seeking for him. In Romans, Paul quotes Isaiah when he says, "I was found of them who sought me not." Maybe you are one like that. You just happened to be present in services one day, and in that particular message you found the greatest treasure of life, even though you were not looking for it. So he sold everything that he had and purchased that field. There are some things about the Lord's work you have to dig for. A familiarity with the Word of God takes a lot of digging. The kingdom of heaven is worth any price that you have to pay. Then he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a pearl, a merchant seeking goodly pearls. And he found one pearl of great price, and went and sold all that he had and bought it. There are many good pearls in life that we can search for. There is the pearl of education. There is the pearl of music. There is the pearl of achievement in various areas. There are many good pearls in life. But there is one pearl that is greater than all. And that one pearl is the kingdom of God. And that one pearl must be purchased at all cost. All other pearls, no matter how important they are like a bucketful of costume jewelry compared to it. Whatever you have to do, and whatever you have to give up to obtain that pearl, is worth it. Then, ladies and gentlemen, there is the parable of the net. The net let down into the sea and gathered of every kind. Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men." Fishing with a hook and line with bait in is person-to-person evangelism, one-on-one. Now that's a good way to fish, with a line, with a hook on it, with bait. Another way is with a great net, such as this radio program, this broadcast. The only thing is, you never know what you will find in the net. Jesus said you gather of every kind. In the net today, you may find some goldfish. Oh, how we need them in the Lord's work. Usually the gold doesn't wear off too easily on these fish. Then there are some porpoises. I'm glad to say a whole school of them. They are the ones who go to services every Lord's Day, and they go on porpoise. You'll always find a few crabs and crawdads in the net of every congregation. Then there have been a few whales along the way, like Peter and Paul, and many minnows, like me. Sometimes you'll find some flounders in the net. Those are those who just sort of flounder around. And then you'll also find some pariahs. The Scripture speaks of them as those who bite and devour one another. You find all kinds of fish in the net. The interpretation of this parable was, so shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the righteous, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And ladies and gentlemen, there will be no mix-up on that day, because Paul told Timothy, the Lord knoweth them that are his. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. After all these parables, Jesus came to a great question when he said, have you understood all these things? They told Jesus they did understand. Jesus said, therefore, every scribe who hath been made a disciple to the kingdom of heaven is like unto a householder who bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Jesus himself is the greatest example of that householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. The Sermon on the Mount is a good example. He said, ye have heard that it was said to them of old time, thou shalt not kill. He reminded them that a murderer was in danger of the judgment and hell fire. That was something old out of his treasure. But then he brought out something new out of his treasure when he said, but I say unto you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of hell fire. Again, he brought out something old out of his treasure when he said, ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then after that, he brought out something new out of his treasury when he said, but I say unto you that everyone that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. If we took that something new that Jesus talked about seriously, the pornographic and advertising industry would be out of business. One more item that was old and he brought forth out of his treasure was when he said, ye have heard that it was said to them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Then he brought out something new from his treasury when he said, but I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by the heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet. We live at a time when God's name is used as a byword. Every day we hear people who are supposed to be Christian using the name as a byword. If someone stumps his toe or gets fired or sneezes, they say, oh my God, oh my God. They use his name every day, carelessly, in vain. Without repentance, it may be when the Lord returns and the Son of Man is seen in all his glory. A great cry will be heard when they see him in all of his glory. Oh, my God! Ladies and gentlemen, for those who do not take Jesus' sermon on parables seriously, it is sufficient reminder to say, you can explain that to him on the judgment day. And it came to pass, When he had finished these parables, he departed thence. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The God Is Just a Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell someone, somehow and in some way, God is just a prayer away.